Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, and this is the 12th Hour Apostolic Seventh Train Congregation. Now it's now the 12th Hour in the Elgin, Texas. Today is August the 9th, 2025, or it's the 17th day of Ab, 2029. This is the Sabbath day. We're going to continue with our readings. From Timely Greetings, Volume 1. We're going to our sermon now entitled The Jews and the Christians' Faith and the Prophets. Text of address by the V.T. Halter, November 16, 1946. He says, let us turn to the writings of the Gospel Prophet whom the Jews so maliciously sawed asunder, and that was Isaiah, chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. Come now, and let us reason together, saith Yahweh. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like the crimson, they shall be as the wool. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. With this divine recommendation for the Yahweh's professed people, the Gospel Prophet was instructed of his prophecy. We do not neglect to comply with the inspiration, sound, and fair recommendation. Our first step shall be to honestly and unbiasedly consider the successes and the failures of those who have gone before us. Let us beforehand refresh our minds with the Jews' attitude toward the prophet, rather than going with the purpose of learning and reasoning. The Jews went to the prophets with the prejudiced minds, with the malice and hatred in their hearts, and with the instruments of cruelty. We must not, this evil spirit, for this evil spirit was prevalent among the Jews throughout their history. It was manifested even against Moses, although for 40 years he led the Hebrew host with a divine sign and wonders all the way from the brickyards of Egypt to the burdens or to the borders of the promised land. For the remnant finally crossed the Jordan only because they wholeheartedly believed that the Moses was the Yahweh's masterpiece, and because they ceased murmuring, took and obeyed orders. For the Hebrews ever after deeply cherished his writings. And this reverent regard for the Pentateuch continued among the Jews even unto the days of the Yahshua. As a man of the Yahweh and as the nation's emancipator and founder of his sacred ceremony, Moses was highly esteemed by all. Ironically, though, the prophets that followed after the Moses were rejected by the Jewish nation as a whole. Those who survived in the Babylonian captivity did accept the prophets Haggai and Zechariah only because they were the founders of the movement then on the foot, as was Moses in his day. For the Jews, according unto their own way of the reasoning, were honest, though blind, in concluding that they had no need of the prophets, because as they saw it, Moses' writings were complete, there was nothing lacking in them, for they contained both the civil and the religious laws. Therefore saw no need for the greater light, and no need of another prophet. Through their unbelief in the prophets, they failed to see that their kingdom was only a type of a greater one to come. For they failed to see that the Yahweh's truth is progressive and ever unfolding, that each generation has to have added truth, especially adapted for the meeting of their particular needs. For their blindness unto this was their basic sin that led them on to the ruin. While the Jews boasted of their faith in the Moses writings, Yahshua represented them by saying, "Had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of it." John 5:46. He has reference to Deuteronomy 18:15. "For the Yahweh will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me. Unto him you shall hearken." Of the coming Messiah, Zechariah also wrote, Zechariah 9:9, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of the Zion. Shout, O daughter of the Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass." Though they profess to believe in both the Moses and Zechariah, yet they gave no heed unto any of these passages, and ever since a curse has rested upon them. In the rejection of the prophets, the Jews thought they were surely keeping out of the deception, and thought that they were thus actually loyal unto the Moses writings and consequently unto the Yahweh. This they believed as much as the Yahshua day. Let's say it again. Thus they believed as much in the Yahshua's day as the Israel believed in the Elijah's day. Let us now note that they fell into ruin only because they refused to give heed unto the prophets who were sent for the reforming of their ways, for the correcting of their erroneous interpretations of the Moses' writings, for the lightening up the path of their feet for the rest of the way. Clear into a paradise, having deprived themselves of the gift of the Spirit of the prophecy by the doing away with the prophets. They completely cut off heaven's communication line and were thus left in the gross darkness and led into the error, fanaticism, and crime. For they became self-sufficient, proud, boastful, and high-minded. For they felt rich and increased with the good and the need of nothing more. Thus it was that their perversions of the Scriptures by their uninspired interpretations of them caused them to lose the way and finally to reject and even to crucify their own long-expected Redeemer. of the Moses writing, the Jews made a mighty weapon against Yahshua and the prophets of that day, for they were, however, at one time or another forced to acknowledge that their dead fathers were guilty of the blood of the prophets. The same is true today. Many admit that sectarianism is thriving on the uninspired interpretation of the scriptures, yet they expect no inspired interpreters for this day. For they thus reject the antithetical prophet Elijah even before his appearance, though the scriptures definitely predict his coming before the great and dreadful day of the Yahweh, before the judgment of the living commences. Okay, it says, if we accept inspiration counsel and come and read together while we are examining our own standing with the prophet, then an excellent place to begin is in Genesis 49:10. For the scepter shall not depart from the Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until the shallow Yahshua, the son of Yahweh, come and say unto him, shall the gathered of the people be. Here Moses wrote that the gathering of the people shall be unto the Judah, and that when the shallow come, Judah shall have a king and a lawgiver of her own. Do we as the Seventh-day Adventists believe in this particular part of the Moses' writing? If not, then we have no better standing with the Moses than did the Jews. For the examining of our standing with the rest of the prophets, we need not depart from the Sabbath which the Moses had introduced in the scripture just quoted. Mark that between the writings of the Moses and of the Isaiah, the Bible contains the records of the history for the judges and their kings. For the Isaiah then is as the next prophet after the Moses that we shall go Isaiah 2:1-2. For the word that the Isaiah the son of the Amos saw concerning the Judah and Jerusalem, and this shall come to pass in the last days, that the mountain of the Yahweh's house shall be established in the top of the mountain, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all the nations shall flow unto that mountain. Not to Tacoma Park, not to Mount Carmel Center, not to some other place, but to the house of the Judah and Jerusalem shall the final converts from all nations flow. Isaiah, you plainly see, absolutely confirmed, that the gathering of the people shall be unto Judah. Do you, question mark. Jeremiah, being the next prophet to Isaiah, we shall read, Jeremiah 31:6, for there shall be a day that the watchman upon the mount of the Ephraim shall cry, arise ye, and let us go up unto Zion, unto the Yahweh our Elohim. For the Mount Ephraim, you know, is the location of the ancient ten tribe kingdom, Israel. according unto the scripture, this scripture, for the kingdom of the Israel that is still lost among the nations shall someday emerge from the four corners of the earth and gladly join the kingdom of the Judah, the kingdom of the Antipode David, which is also represented by this everlasting kingdom of heaven that is set up here on this earth in the first prophetic hour, in the harvest time of Earth's history. So shall the gathering of the people be. And that's in Daniel 2:44-45, where it says, in the days of these kings shall the Yahweh of Israel set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, or left to other people. For it shall grow into a mountain till the whole earth, and it shall stand forever. Jeremiah 31:7-8. For thus says the Yahweh, sing with the gladness for the Jacob, and shout among the chief of the nations, publish ye, praise ye, and say, O Yahweh, save thy people. For the remnant of the Israel, behold, I will bring them from the north country, gather them from the coast of the earth, and with them the blind and the lame, the woman with the child, and her that travaileth with the child together, a great company shall return thither. For the day of Jeremiah discloses that the gathering unto the Judah, the house of David, Isaiah 2 and Micah 4, which is called the mountain of the house of the Yahweh, shall be from the four corners of the earth. Indeed, the Jeremiah, Moses, and Isaiah, all three speak alike on this subject. For the question is, do you believe what they say? If not, are you then better than were the Jews? Next, we are to test our standing with the prophet Ezekiel 36:17-27. Son of the man, when the house of the Israelites dwelt in their own land, they defiled it by their own way and by their doing. For their way was before me as the uncleanness of a removed woman. Wherefore I poured my fury upon them for the blood that they had shed upon the land, and for their idols wherewith they had polluted it, and I scattered them among the heathen, and they were dispersed to their countries according unto their way, and according unto their doings I judged them. And when they entered into the heathen, whither they went, they profaned my holy name, when they said unto them, these are the people of the Yahweh, and are gone forth out of his land. But I had pity for my holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the heathen. Let's do that again. But I had pity for my holy name's sake, that the house of the Israel had profaned among the heathen, whither they went. Therefore say unto the house of the Israel, thus saith the Yahweh, I do not this for your sake, O house of the Israel. Only, girly for my holy name's sake, that you have profaned among the heathen. Okay, and it says that whither you went. And I will sanctify my great name that was profaned among the heathen, that you have profaned in the midst of them, and the heathen shall know that I am the Yahweh, saith the Yahweh. And when I shall be sanctified in you for the right, for I will take you from among the heathen and get you out of all the countries, and will bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all of your filthiness, and from all of your idols will I cleanse you. For a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. What more could the inspiration say for the making of the study any clearer? For the Yahweh plainly and solemnly promised to create and to rebuild the ancient kingdom, the city up in its own land. This he is to do after the Judah and Israel are scattered among the Gentile nations and assimilated by them after they have lost their racial identity. Then as the Christians and not as the Jews. So let's do that again. Then as the antitypical apostolic Jews, not as the Jewish of the Pharisees, he is to gather them from the four corners of the earth and to bring them into their own land. And moreover, the scriptures teach that they are as the sand of the sea for the multitude. This he is to do, you know not because, or you know not because they are worthy, not because they had been good before or during their dispersions among the Gentiles, really because he is anxious for the sanctifying of his own land among the heathen. Still further, after he gathers them from all the countries and brings them into their own land, then it is that he promises to cleanse them eternally from their filthiness and from their idolatry, also for the removing all of the defects that sin has brought upon them. Then it is that he gives them a new heart, puts his spirit upon them, and enables them for the unavoidably keeping of his judgment. Let's do that again. Then it is that he gives them a new heart, and he puts his spirit upon them, and enables them for the keeping of his judgment. Mark carefully that regardless of our ideas and opinions, all these things take place after the Yahweh's people return unto their father's land. For the 144,000 descendants of the Jacob, whose fathers were assimilated by the Gentile nation, and who thus down through the centuries lost their racial identity, are the first fruits as the first to be gathered unto the Judah. They are those who stand on the Mount Zion with the Lamb, Revelation 14:1, for the faithful descendants of the Jews who composed the early apostolic congregation of the Congregation of the Nazarene, and typical apostle of the apostles, and who also lost their national identity by the naming of themselves Christians instead of apostolics. They didn't want that recognition anymore. Apostolics, the apostles of the Nazarene creed, pointing to Yahshua, they didn't want that identity anymore. Acts 11:26 are also to be gathered from everywhere and brought in unto the tribe of Judah, the house of David, the mountain of the house of Yahweh, Isaiah 2 and Micah 4. Finally, if these prophecies are not to be fulfilled, okay, let's do that again. Finally, these prophecies are to be fulfilled. For as the angel of the Laodicean church supposes, and if the Yahweh's people are to return unto their homeland, then how will they ever be cleansed? Then they will be cleansed from their filthiness, since their cleansing is to be done there only. How will they ever have their hearts changed? And what is to make them keep their statutes and judgments unless as promised beforehand receive his spirit in the promised land? Indeed, if these prophecies fail, then how will the Yahweh's people ever be able to stand before a pure and holy Yahweh? Let's continue. And how will they ever obtain immortality and be on the schedule for the translation if they do not comply with the prophecy, with his express will and plan for his people? And if they ignore these prophecies, the fulfillment of which is during the judgment for the living, the harvest, and the gathering time, what chance do they then stand for the surviving of that great and dreadful day of the Yahweh? To be more specific, if the denomination fails for the recognizing and accepting of these prophecies, then where are the laity to be led from their own? Certainly not into the kingdom if the leaders do not believe in it. Do you now believe in Moses? And Isaiah and Ezekiel, or do you rather still believe in the fables devised by men? Next to Ezekiel is the prophet Daniel. Incidentally, let us remind ourselves that to begin with, Daniel did not prophesy unto the Jews, but unto the Chaldeans, and unto the Medes and the Persians. The Jews accepted him as the Yahweh's servant only as they saw his prophecies fulfilled. Well, the great question before us, however, is do we fully believe in the prophet Daniel's writings? Let us see. Daniel 2:44-45. And in the days of these kings shall the Yahweh of the heavens set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left unto other people, but it shall stand. It shall break in pieces and consume all this kingdom, and it shall stand forever. For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without the hand, and that it break in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great Yahweh hath made known unto their king Nebuchadnezzar, which shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain and the interpretation is sure. On Daniel's own words, the stone is symbolic, not of something else, really of the kingdom of the heaven of Daniel 2, 44 and 45. That the parable of the wheat and the tares, Yahshua calls barns, the place into which he is to put the wheat, the sheaves, after it is separated from the tares, Matthew 13:30. Now mark carefully that according to the Daniel's interpretation of the stone, he pitched the kingdom as the Yahweh shall set up not after days of these changed, but in their days. And that the stone kingdom itself, not something else, shall break the great image. If our interpretation of the stone contradicts Daniel's interpretation of it, then we do not only reject Daniel's inspiration, but even misconstrue the word of the other. We better not. We now come to the prophet Hosea. Hosea 1:11-5. Then shall the children of the Judah and the children of the Israel be gathered together and appoint themselves one head. And they shall come out of the land, for great shall be the day of Jezreel. Afterwards shall the children of the Israel return and seek the Yahshua, their Savior, and David, their king, and shall fear the Yahshua and his goodness in the latter days. 10. One believe Hosea on the subject of the kingdom if he does not believe in the former prophet who taught exactly as he. We are now at the Joel's prophecy, Joel 3:1-2. For behold, in those days and in that time, when I shall bring again the captivity of the Judah and Jerusalem, I will also gather all of the nations and will bring them down into the valley of the Jehoshaphat and will there plead with them for my people and for my heritage Israel, and they have scattered among the nations and parted my land. When the Yahweh frees the antitypical children of the Judah and of the Jerusalem, the Seventh-day Adventist Church of today, and takes them back into their own land, then it is, you note, that he gathers all the nations into the valley of the Jehoshaphat. There he is to judge them, to separate the good from the bad. Matthew 13:47-48. For the sheep from the goats, Matthew 25:32. And this work you must know is the work of the judgment for all the living. Are we to reject Joel along with the prophets before him, and consequently the message of the judgment for the living after having for over a century preached the judgment for the dead? Ponder over what the scriptures say and thus make up your mind to forsake all other voices. And what about your belief in the prophet Amos? Let us read Amos 9:9-15. For lo, I will command, and I will set the house of the Israel among all the nations, that as the corn is sifted in a sieve, yet shall not the least grain fall upon the earth. All the sinners of my people shall die by the sword. That means all the terrors in the Adventist church, and they're separated from the wheat. That's what it's talking about. They will all die. Verse 10, the evil shall not overtake nor prevent us. And that day will I raise up the tabernacle of the David that is fallen, and close up the breaches thereof, and I will raise up his ruins, and I will build it as in the days of the old, that they may possess the remnant of the Edom, and of all the heathen which are called by my name, says Yahweh, that doeth this. Behold, the days come, saith to Yahweh, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of the grapes him that soweth seed, and the mountains shall drop down the sweet wine, and all the hills shall melt. And I will bring again the captivity of my people of the Israel, and they shall build the waste places, or the waste city, and inhabit them, and they shall plant the vineyards, and drink the wine thereof. They shall also make gardens, and eat the fruit of them, and I will plant them upon their land, and they shall no more be pulled up out of the land that I have given them, saith Yahweh, thy Elohim. Since the Amos, with even the greater emphasis, is with the bearing of the same testimony as all of the prophecies before him, and since the language on this subject is crystal clear, as is the language of all of the prophets before him, so much so that it needs no comment. What shall we do with him? We are now to read Obadiah 1:15-18. For the day of the Yahweh, let's do it again. For the day of the Yahshua, son of the Yahweh, is near upon all of the heathen, as thou hast done, it shall be done unto thee. For thy reward shall return upon thine own head, for as you have drunk upon my holy mountain, so shall all the heathen drink continually. Yea, they shall drink, and they shall swallow down, and they shall be as though they had not been, but upon the Mount Zion shall be deliverance, and there shall be holiness. And the house of Jacob shall possess their possession. And the house of Jacob shall be a fire, and the house of Joseph a flame. So the house of Jacob is Judah, the two tribes, and the house of Joseph is the 10 tribes. And the two are together. And the house of the Esau for stubble. And they shall kindle in them and devour them, and there shall not be any return of the house of the Esau, for the Yahweh has spoken it. In the harmony with all of the prophets before him, and in the perfect clarity, Obadiah also relates that in the day of the Yahshua destroys the heathen in the day of the harvest, or judgment, otherwise called the cleansing of the sanctuary, Daniel 8:14, and the purification of the church, Malachi 3:1-3, and also in the great and dreadful day of Yeshua, there shall be deliverance upon the Mount Zion, and the house of the Jacob shall possess the wealth of the heathen. Do you now believe in the testimony of the Yeshua through his prophet? If not, then how can you say that you speak according unto the law and unto the testimony? Isaiah 8:20. Ever remember that the law and the testimony always go hand in hand. For the prophet Jonah is next in line, but we shall consider his prophecy when we come to the prophet Nahum. We shall now see what is to be done with the prophet Micah. Micah 3:12, 4:1-2. Therefore shall Zion for your sake be plowed as a field, and Jerusalem shall become a heap, and the mountain of the house of the high places of the forest. Let's see that again. Therefore shall Mount Zion at the 12th hour for your sake be plowed as a field in the land of Israel, and Jerusalem shall become heaps. This is Zechariah 14. And the mountain of the house of the high places of the forest, verily in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain, house of David, everlasting kingdom of heaven here on earth, set up in the days of these kings, Daniel 2:44-45, with Yahshua sitting on the throne of David in this mountain, as the house of the Yahweh shall be established in the top of the mountain, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow unto it, and many nations shall come and say, come and let us go up unto the mountain of the Yahweh, and unto the house of the Elohim of the Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths, for the Lord shall go forth of his eyes, and the word of the Yahweh from the Jerusalem. As emphatically as all of the prophets before him, Micah declared that after the destruction of the Yahweh's ancient mountain, the kingdom, I'll put this way, as emphatically, let's do this, read this again, as emphatically as all the prophets before him, Micah declares that after the destruction of the Yahweh's ancient kingdom, that was called also the mountain, comes the re-establishment of that kingdom, of that mountain, in the last days, with the house of David. And Yeshua, as that stone hewn out of the mountain, out of hand, that strikes the image on the feet, that goes into the mountain, fills the whole earth, Isaiah 2 and Micah 4. And that the people of the nation shall flow unto it, because the law and the word of the Yahweh shall go forth. Let's do that again. Only as the law and the word of the Yahweh shall go forth from the Zion and from Jerusalem, shall you now close your ears and eyes against this promise? Or do you, as the servants of the Yahweh, intend to get there with the first fruit? Let's do that again. Or do you, as the servants of the Yahshua, the son of Yahweh, intend to get there with the first fruits of the 144,000? I hope it is the latter. For we now come unto the prophecy of the Nahum, 1:12, 13, and 15. Although I have afflicted thee, I will 50 no more. For now will I break his yoke from off thee, and will burst thy bonds in sunder. Behold, upon the mountains the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, saying, O Judah, keep thy solemn faith, and perform thy vows, for the wicked shall no longer pass through thee. He is utterly cut off. For the Nahum's burden is with the concerning of the restoration and the fall of Assyria. For the powers that now rule them in the day that he restores the latter day, kingdom of the Judah, the house of David, with Yahshua occupying the throne of the house of David in the tribe of Judah as the lawgiver, fulfilling Genesis 49:10, for a scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until the shadow come, and unto him shall the getting of the people be. And that shadow is Yahshua, so therefore the getting of the people is going to be unto him. For he breaks the Assyrian yoke in the day that he burst asunder the bands that bind his people in that day, for he sends his messenger for the bearing of the good tidings for his people, with the tidings of the peace, while the world is upset with the wars. Through his messenger he is urging his people for the performing of their vows, for he is for the taking away of the wicked from among them. For the Assyria is for the vacating and giving a room unto the Judah and house of the David, through the voice of the Yahweh shall the Assyrian be beaten down for smoke with the rod, Isaiah 30:31. Now he preached, turn ye unto him from whom the servant of the Israel hath deeply revolted. For in that day, and the day that the Assyria falls, every man shall cast away his idols of the silver and his idols of the gold, which he your own hands have made unto you for a sin. Then shall the sin fall with the sword, not of a mighty man, and the sword not of a mean man, shall devour him. For he shall flee from the sword, and his young men shall be disaffected, and he shall pass over unto his stronghold with a fear, and his princes shall be afraid as an ensign. That's the house of David, represents this ensign, says to Yahweh, who is far as in Zion, and his furnace in Yerushalayim, Isaiah 31:69. For the purification judgment, in the judgment time, here you see is conducted from the Zion and Yerushalayim, and through the Malachi as the Spirit. But who may abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's crown, like the fuller's coat, and he shall sit as a refiner and purify the silver, and he shall purify the sons of the Levi, the ministry, and purge them as the gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Yahweh an offering and righteousness. Malachi 3:2-3. Do you accept Nahum? And since the Jonah's prophecy is a counterpart of the Nahum, then if you reject Nahum, you automatically reject Jonah also. For the prophet Habakkuk was told to write the vision and make it plain upon the table, that he may run who readeth it. Habakkuk 2:3. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. Verily, at the end it shall speak, and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. Then Habakkuk 3:12-13. Thou didst march through the land in the indignation. Thou didst thresh the heathen in your anger. Thou wentest forth for the salvation of thy people, even for the salvation which thine anointed. Thou wouldest the head out of the house of the wicked by the discovering of the foundation, by the discovering of their foundation unto the neck. Selah. Can we in the faith pray for the same thing, Habakkuk pray, that the Yahweh, that the Yeshua, son of Yahweh, shall go forth for the salvation of his people, that the vision be fulfilled without the delay, and that we run for the proclaiming of the good tidings? If not, then truly we spurn the Habakkuk. Also, let us see what the Zephaniah has to say concerning the latter-day house of the Judah, the mountain of the Yahweh. Zephaniah 2:7. Woe unto the inhabitants of the sea coast, the nation of the Cherethites, the word of the Yahweh is against you, O Canaan, the land of the Philistines. I will even destroy thee, that there shall be no inhabitant, and the sea coast shall be dwelling and cottages for the shepherds and folds for the flock. And the coast shall be for the remnant of the house of the Judah, that's the kingdom of David, for they shall feed thereupon in the houses of the Ashkelon, shall they lie down in the evening, for the Yeshua, the Savior, shall visit them and turn away their captivity. Since Zephaniah's prophecy is also definite that the Yeshua is for the reestablishing of the everlasting kingdom of the David, with him sitting upon the throne of it, in the house of David, of the Judah, that's in Luke 1:31, 1:32, and 1:3. And since it also needs no comment, we shall quickly pass to the Zechariah's prophecy, Zechariah 1:20, 1:21. And the Yahweh showed me a four carpenter, and said I, what come these to bear in this space sent? These are the horns which have shed of Judah, so that no man did lift up his head. But these are come for the planting them, and for the casting out of the horns of the Gentiles, that indeed lifted up their horn over the land of the Judah for the shattering of the Judah. Once the Yeshua raised horns, nation, for the shattering of his people throughout the Gentile nation, but those horns in the restoration of all things are seen to become carpenters, so that while they, as the horns, at long last cast the Gentiles out from the promised land, they are as a carpenters for the building up of the Judah, for the building of the kingdom of David, the everlasting kingdom of heaven, that is still upon this earth in the days you've seen, Daniel 2:44 and 45. This Zechariah, as do all of the prophets before him, prophesied of the restoration of the kingdom of the Judah. Now we shall read from the Malachi and the last of the Old Testament prophets, 3:1-3. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Yeshua, whom ye, son of Yahweh, whom ye seek, shall suddenly come to his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in, behold, he shall come, saith the Yeshua of the host. But who may abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's star, and like the full of soap, and he shall sit as a refiner, and purify the silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi, and purge them as the gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Yeshua an offering in righteousness. If in the face of the plain and unquestionable teachings of all the prophet. We, as the Advent, the Seventh-day Adventist, fail to give heed and the still gift. In the face of the plain and unquestionable teachings of all of the prophets, we as the Seventh-day Adventists fail for the giving heed unto the truth of the purification of the everlasting kingdom of the David who dealt with the message of the judgment for the living and of the restoration of the everlasting kingdom of the David with the Yahshua sitting upon the throne of it in these last days of the Judah. The lawgiver, Genesis 49:10, for a scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until the shadow, Yahshua, come, and unto him shall the dead and other people be. The sanctuary for the purified one, then certainly others will have to take our places in the proclaiming of the prophecy for this kingdom. Then, along with the jury, we will have to bear the guilt of the rejection all of the prophets unless we actually believe all that they have written, or merely pretending to believe in them, meaning this mercy under heaven as the faith of the Jews in the writings of the Moses meant to the Yahweh. What preaching of the gospel of the kingdom, in other words, the preaching of the path of salvation through faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua, Hebrews 10:19-20, of the new and living way, that's called the gospel of the kingdom in these last days, but denying the kingdom itself. And the closing I shall read from the early writings and the chapter entitled, The Loud Cry. For this message that is a message that makes the loud cry seem to be an addition unto the third message, joining it as the midnight cry joined the second angel's message in 1844, early writings 277. And on page 118 we read, I then saw the third angel, said my accompanying angel, fearful in his work, awful in his mission. He is the angel that is to select the wheat from the tares and seal or bind the wheat for the heavenly garment. That's 144,000. For these things shall engross the whole mind, the whole attention. For the author of this statement is clear that the loud cry is not made by a lot of noise, really by an additional message, and that the third angel's message in the end of the world, not in the beginning of the end of the world, joining the fourth and fifth angel, not the end itself, selects the wheat from the tares, who among you would be foolish enough to close his eyes and ears unto the testimony of the prophets, and at last in the consternation cry out, the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. Jeremiah 8:20. Now if we as a church do not even so much as expect an additional message besides rejection of the former prophet, then how much better is our attitude toward the Yahweh and his prophet of today as well as of yesterday? For the Jews want a kingdom of their own, a kingdom of this world, Satan center in it, yet they want a kingdom on earth, but none in heaven. What is more, they want it 2,000 years ahead of schedule. Now, ironically, in the time of the restoration of the kingdom, the denomination takes an opposite attitude, for it wants a kingdom in heaven, but none on earth now. Indeed, it wants to board the chariot from Tacoma Park, Washington, and besides, while the Yahweh says he is to save the nation, the Seventh-day Adventist denomination says He is to save only 144,000 out of the Seventh day Adventist Church, living sons of Jacob, and consequently none of the sons of the other nations. For the Jews wanted nothing but what they wanted, and nothing is just what they got. So it will be with the Seventh day Adventist denomination that this clear cut and extra biblical truth and the example of the Jews does not help her see that she has drifted to sea without the chart or compass, Yahshua or righteousness, page 37. If she continues to want nothing but what she wants, it is certain that nothing is what she can expect. Pray tell what more should one expect to get from the partial belief and the prophets, from the private human interpretation of the scriptures, from a system of the explained away of the scriptures of the message and mysteries of the simple passages by the use of the unknown manuscript and sectarian translation. Let us hold unto the book of the Yahweh and his that his mouth has commanded, and that the manuscripts of his spirit have given. Isaiah 34:16. So anything you wish against the Jews, but my study tells me that we as the Seventh day Adventists are outdoing them in the mischief. Moreover, it is now seen that our study of this afternoon is a summary of the message for the later sin, Seventh day Adventists, who think that they are rich and increasing the good and have need of the nothing. More, though they have need of everything, they had better awake unto their poverty. To be sure, the present state of the affairs does appear gloomy, yet seeing that this dark and cloudy day holds forth a future of the unsurpassing joy, let us with the prophet Habakkuk say, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vine, for the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat, for the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Yahweh, I will joy in the Yahweh of my salvation, let's do it again. Yet I will rejoice in the Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh. I will joy in Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, of my salvation through his blood. Hebrews 10:19-20. Habakkuk 3:17-18. Just as the apostles defeated the enemy of the church in their day, likewise shall we defeat him in our day. This brings the end of our study. This is our contest. If you have ever saw our call, that's number 11. Click on our audio archives, hear this message, and more. We shall close now with a song.